There we go. All righty. Good morning. Welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, February 17, 2026. Today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 20, the first paragraph, reading, "You may have already asked yourself," through one paragraph, ending in, "What do I have to do?" And we're going to unpack that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, thank you again to Team Tuesday, Elizabeth D., Ken W.H., Judy N., and readers of the 12-Step, Chris W., 12 Traditions, Alicia A., our newcomer reader, Karen W., and our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Matt J.F. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, February 16th, 7 a.m., is 23,213. That's 23213. And for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 23,214. That's 23214. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris. I will now ask for Alicia A. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Alicia.
Good morning. This is Alicia, compulsive overeater, and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each member should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each member has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're on page 20. On the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Elizabeth D. to begin reading. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Can't wait.
Good morning, Amy. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Thank you.
Thanks. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston, Massachusetts area. You may already have asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from drinking. Doubtless, you are curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may be asking, what do I have to do? I look at this paragraph as I kind of looked at the previous pages. It's sort of a transition paragraph. Previously, we read Bill's story in the previous chapter, and I learned to identify into the hopeless condition of mind and body that Bill exhibited. So Bill was certainly in a hopeless condition of mind and body through his alcoholism, and I, too, identified with that hopeless condition when it came to my compulsive overeating. And now I'm asking, what do I have to do? And this whole chapter, There is a Solution, is the beginning of that solution to the problem. This question, what do I have to do, is what really stands out for me this morning. I have been in OA for in April it'll be 40 years, and 3 years ago on April 10th, I asked myself this question yet again: What do I have to do? Because I was coming off another relapse. And for those of you who are newcomers out there who are just experiencing OA for the first time, you will hear about relapse. But from my experience, I relapsed from this program not because the program doesn't work. The program works, and it has worked for me for years at a time, and I have maintained 120-pound weight loss. But I have relapsed in this program, and there have been periods 3 years ago where I was asking myself, what do I have to do to come out of this yet another relapse? And this book gave me the answer to that question. When I opened my mind, became entirely abstinent yet again, an entire abstinent for me is different from abstinence, but when I became entirely abstinent again and I reached out to someone in my desperation, having gained weight again, and what do I have to do, and ask someone, and that person again took me through this book and peeled away even more of the onion. Every time I have gotten abstinent and stayed abstinent for a period of time and finally achieved some emotional sobriety, my life has gotten better. And at 67 years old, 3 years abstinent, I can tell you I have never imagined I could have the happy, joyous, free life, not without problems, not without challenges, but I have a way of dealing with those problems, not just so maintaining a 140-pound normal-sized body is just the beginning of this for me. I have had so much learning.
Time, Elizabeth.
Thank you. And I'll wrap up just by saying the weight loss and the healthy way of living and eating is just the beginning for me. Working these steps and going through the rest of these pages has been the key and the answer to a very happy and useful life for me. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Ready to get us started. Okay, so let's hear some more, but just a few details. If you have shared with us in the last couple days, namely Friday or Monday, we ask that although we value very much your experience, strength, and hope, if you could please step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope, that would be great. So who would like to share on what was read? Please give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and the state from which you reside. All right, let's roll.
Elena C.
Elena C. M.
I got Elena C. Hillary M., I think.
Anne-Marie M.
Anne-Marie, okay, close.
Nicole
M. Nicole S. Right, Nicole, yes.
Susan S.H.
Susan S.H. Okay. Anyone else?
Mary C. from Massachusetts.
Mary C.
I'm sorry, Maisie C. from Massachusetts.
Maisie, gotcha. Gotcha, Maisie. Thank you. Anyone else? All righty. I have Elena C., Anne Marie M., Nicole S., Susan S.H., and Maisie C. All right, Elena, you're up.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Loud and clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered today. And it's been a long time since I attended 7 o'clock meeting. I usually go to the 10 o'clock, but I'm glad I'm here. And, you know, this paragraph reminds me how back then, that's what it says, that in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, they did not have a solution. Medical community did not have a solution to solve the alcoholism. And the only way this people recovered is to embrace the 12 steps of recovery and get a relationship with a power greater than themselves, which removed the cravings, the nominal craving, and brought neutrality to you, and neutrality to life, neutrality to conflict, neutrality to fighting. And, well, I was also struck by the question, what do I have to do? What I have to do is clear, is loud and clear every single day, every single day. Wake up, reach out to my higher power, and stay in the steps of recovery and help another. And that's what I have to do now. And if I don't do that, if I don't do this, there's no way in the world I'm going to stay recovered. You know, it's clear. And I have not, I want to report that I have not had thoughts of eating my triggering foods in years. And that's not, food is the problem, but it's not the problem until it's the problem. So also, you know, for the most part, I feel compassion and understanding and tolerance for people. And, you know, when I have resentments, I clear myself out by doing a 10-step. I have a 10-step partner, and then an 11-step partner at the end of the day. And that's what I have to do. And and it's absolutely amazing. This life is amazing. I don't want to go back. And I know that if I shy away from the light of from the spirit of the universe, and I don't do what I have to do, I'm going to go back in my old Elena, who was full of resentment and retaliation. And I wanted to fight people. And I am grateful for that. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elena. Please, I forgot to write it down.
Oh, did you call me, Amy?
Just looking for Elena C. to give me her state. I was guessing New York, but I forgot to write it down.
I think she's in South Carolina.
Carolina. I think you're right.
Maybe
right,
not.
Emory.
Okay. All right.
That's fine.
I'm in South Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, in relapse. And I was just talking with a fellow who suggested I, you know, get on the line and share. I'd love to share that. Please don't ever listen to the voice. And the last two shares, you know, talked about what I heard, talked about staying connected to God and, you know, that is the answer, and I didn't stay connected to God. And, you know, I reviewed what had happened last night, and I realized that I could have done a 10th step after leaving my daughter's house, because I was very uncomfortable feeling, you know, I saw my part in being judgmental of her, you know, not saying anything to her, but in my mind, being judgmental and her not doing things my way and all that stuff. And when I left there, I could have called another to discuss my part. And I did. I got on an OA meeting that I was scheduled to get on. And, you know, I guess I stuffed those feelings. I was not connected to God for sure. Absolutely. And that voice came and said, you know, you could compulsively eat right now and it won't be a big deal. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, where was God? Not, you know, I didn't connect to God. I was, actually I had said a couple of scriptures out loud. I was not connected to God. That didn't get me connected to God. So, and I didn't call anyone. I fought the disease on my own, and that does not work. Telling the disease that I'm not going to give in to him, it doesn't work. So, I appreciate all the call, all the any calls, but I appreciate the voices that I hear on this line and that are recovered because they do stay connected to a God, a power, a higher power than themselves. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. So glad you're here. Thank you for your honesty. Keep coming back. All right, Nicole S., you are up, followed by Susan S.H. Please go ahead, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. Thank you, Amy, for your service. And the first thing that struck me in this is how we became so very ill from drinking. And I know I had to just give up trying to figure out why I have this illness and why I couldn't get better and why when I, you know, could have maybe, you know, when I was a hard eater, could have gone back to the other side. But I had to just give up that and realize, you know, that this this is the solution, this program, and it's through action. And I also love how it, in the face of expert opinion, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And I know that was me. I have a hopeless condition of mind and body, and I'm never going to be a normal eater. But yet, it says right here, you know, how they have recovered. And this book is going to really, really lay out, you know, how exactly to do that. And that last part, what do I have to do? I just think of action, and it is a program of action, and I just can't sit and do nothing and expect to stay recovered. And so much of it is you know, reaching out to others. I'm such a selfish person and have to get out of myself, but I have to take action every single day. So I really appreciate this meeting. I appreciate all the recovery out there, and that there's so many wonderful examples of people who have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Okay, Susan S.H., you're up, followed by Maisie C., and then we're going to take some more names, so get ready. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered and changed for today. I'm grateful for that. Yeah, what jumped out at me is that we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Do I really look at that every day? Probably not, but it's there. You know, I still sometimes fall into spending time not encouraging myself, criticizing myself. And, you know, I know it's useless and it does not help me, but my life has changed. My life has changed. I don't spend my time judging other people. The last paragraph really spoke to that. We can be more useful when we're not always in judgment. I don't spend my time resenting other people. I have directions in the steps to help me let these things go. And I don't fluctuate my weight and constant food. Occasionally, it comes up in my mind, but I can look away. I can just look away, and I have a reprieve. So, yeah, for myself, what do I have to do? I have to keep working on this relationship. I have to keep coming back to God, coming back to my higher power. Well, I call God. Do I know exactly who this God is? I don't. But I know I have a higher power who is unconditional love. And I know my life has changed. My attitude has changed. And yeah. Obesity is a pretty hopeless condition. I know that. But yeah, here I am at 1 size for quite a few years. What a gift. I hope I can see that every day and give thanks. We have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And I want to stay over it. What do I have to do? I have to keep seeking God. And that has worked for me. And I have had so many blessings in association with it. So anyway, I'm rambling a little bit, but I'm very grateful again. And with that, I guess I'll pass.
Not rambling at all, Susan. Thank you so much. Susan S.H. from Ohio. Maisie C., you are up, and then we're going to take some more names. Friendly reminder, we are on page 20, the first paragraph, starting with you may have already asked yourself. Please go ahead, Maisie.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. I just had major surgery, a real complicated surgery, and I'm recovering with God's grace. And, it reminded me back in 2006 when I had surgery, and I said, you know, God knew the only way he could get me to look up was to put me down. And once again, he's put me down for a couple of weeks flat on my back. And, I had to really take inventory of myself and self-evaluation. And, you know, I remember a couple of years ago saying to my sponsor, I'm hopeless. I'm just a real hopeless case. I'm a low-bottom addict. I can't do this. I couldn't do it because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it the way it was laid out. I didn't want to do X, Y, and Z. I wanted to do Maisie's way. I kept trying to dissect the program. I started going to OA about 25 years ago, and maybe 6 months into that, somebody suggested I go to a big book step study meeting, where it was a big meeting. It was like 150 people there. And I sat there, and of course I couldn't talk because I'm not an alcoholic, and they don't want to hear about food addicts. But anyway, maybe it's changed now. I'm sure it has. But anyway, like I said, I am the queen of denial. I've been in denial a lot of my life. I'm working on that diligently to change that, you know. And what do I have to do? I have to do God's will, not Maisie's will. My way has shown me nothing, you know. Just like the big book says, stand at the point of, I lost my train of thought. I know that each day I have to ask God for his help and to take my strong desire to want to do it my way. That's heavy, you know, because I was raised in a family, youngest of eight. My dad used to always say, you're powerful. You don't need anybody. You can do it yourself and da-da-da-da. I got to break that little voice in my head. I have to follow my heart. And God's in my heart, and that's what I need. I need God. I need all of you. I need the program. I need to work the steps. I need to work the tools every day, not just some days when I feel like it, but every day. You know, at the end of the day, I always, you know, sit there and think, okay, you know, I go through my day. What did I do? What could I have done differently? Did I offend anybody? And there's times I have to call somebody to make an amends because I know my tone of voice wasn't right. Something wasn't right. But I'm grateful the food is down. I'm grateful that I've lost 25 pounds. And this surgery, they had told me they couldn't do it until I lost some weight. And thank God I had lost 15 pounds before. It was an emergency surgery after all. So I'm grateful. I have to wear this belt around my waist for 4 months. That's not easy, but I look at it this way. If I had waited to lose more weight, I would have been in this belt all summer long. So God's been protecting me and watching over me. Did I hear time?
You did.
Thank you so much, Amy. You all have a blessed day. Bye for now.
Thank you, Maisie. Heal up. That's Maisie C. from Massachusetts. Okay, so we're going to take some more names of who would like to share on what was read.
Felicia F. from New York.
There was someone. Oh, Nick in Tennessee. Nick, yep, gotcha. Gotcha, Nick. Anyone else? Got Felicia, I've got Nick.
Larry K.
Larry. Okay. Anyone else? All right, we've got Felicia, Nick, and Larry. Felicia, please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Felicia, grateful compulsive overeater, sugar addict. Been with the program about 3 years, and I'm struggling. My dad passed away about 2-3 weeks ago, and I've been into the food, and it hasn't been good. I know with the reading, with the chronic relapser that people say that I am, I always look at it as that I'm not a chronic relapser, I'm a persistent recoverer. Because if I was a chronic relapser, I wouldn't be coming to meetings and I wouldn't be working my program and looking for another sponsor and doing a gratitude list each day and working on my spiritual practice. Because I know that for me to be abstinent, I have to look at all three legs of the stool and surrender this to my higher power. And it's just hard when the grief is just so overwhelming and the thoughts are so intrusive. But I just wanted to claim my seat and share, because I don't share in these meetings. I don't share enough. And thank you. I'm grateful, very grateful to be here. I pass.
Thank you, Felicia. So sorry for your loss, but glad that you are here. That's Felicia S. from New York. Nick F. from Tennessee, you're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, family. My name is Nick S. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
If you can speak a little louder, Nick, you're a little low.
All right. How about now?
That's better. Yep. Please go ahead. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, family. I'm definitely a recovered compulsive overeater. I was trying to put the phone on speaker so I wouldn't have to hold it because I don't know why, but when I start to share my hands start to shake, and I kind of just get all choked up and nervous, and I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you, Amy, for your service this morning, and to everyone that's sharing. Really, actually, just gave me courage to share. What do I have to do? Like, this whole paragraph is slamming, but yeah, that part, what do I have to do? You know, I'm the youngest of four kids. And it was like I just got, you know, the leftovers. I really didn't have to learn how to cook and clean or do anything. I did a whole lot of observing and watching. And I was pretty big as a kid, so I guess the leftovers was plenty. But what do I have to do? This is a program for me. I get to go to my high power on my knees. And that's where I found myself December 27th on my sponsor's birthday, on my knees, willing to give God all of my body and all of my soul. Please let me get abstinent because I'm literally dying in this disease. And I didn't get the abstinence until I have now, until January the 23rd. And it's only by the grace and the power of God. And what I said on my knees on December 27th is I'll send my food every day if I have to send it. I'll go to Vision and I'll go to Cornwall every morning if I have to go. I said, please, God, release me. And, you know, I lost 350. I gained 115 pounds of that in less than 8 months. What do I have to do? I have to stop BSing God, myself, and others and get real. You know, I wanted to blame my relapse on my smoking. I wanted to blame my relapse on being queer. I wanted to blame my relapse on everything I picked up. me. So now what do I have to do? I got to get for real. This is life and death for me. And I'm so grateful. I don't even know how it's happened by the 20, but for 25 days. But I did tell my sponsor the other day, you know, anybody doing the work that she sent me, you can't help but get better. And so with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nick. Good to hear you. That's Nick F. from Tennessee. All right, Larry K., you're up, and then we'll take some more names. Please go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Amy. Hey, I get to follow Nick. I like that. I like that for sure. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. And, you know, we read here, doubtless you are curious to discover how and why the face of expert opinion to the contrary. You know, these doctors and others thought we were hopeless, young, Silkworth. They all knew there wasn't much they could do for us, the true alcoholic. But nonetheless, we had recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Why does that text use the word recovered? You know, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous uses the term recovered to describe a state of being, of having returned. You've been restored. There's a restoration process of having returned to a healthier, more stable condition after overcoming alcoholism. And the choice of the wording emphasizes that while recovery indeed is an ongoing process, right, it is possible for individuals like you and me to reach a point where we no longer actively struggle with this disease. We no longer struggle. The obsession has been lifted. You know, it's not a perfect analogy, but you know, when cancer's gone, it's gone. It's a great blessing. Great blessing, but it's gone. Now, you still have to lead a healthy life. You have to follow certain protocols if we're blessed enough for that cancer to be, you know, to be gone. But nonetheless, you are in a recovered state of being. They don't see the cancer cells actively coursing through your veins and your body. Similarly, in a similar way, we're in a recovered state. And what do we have to do? We have to work the steps. Sure, we have to put the food down. We have to work the steps. And the big book only talks about recovering a couple of times, and it's in reference to people, alcoholics, that are in the process of having a spiritual awakening through the application of the 12 steps. They're in the process. They haven't had it yet. That's where they're using the term. Yet, if you talk to folks in AA, they'll think you're nuts if you talk about recovered, yet it's right in the book. And that's what they're talking about. And that's what this paragraph is talking about. It's essential. Throughout the book, it talks about, page 20, in There Is a Solution, we have recovered, right? Forward to the first edition. How many thousands of men and women have recovered? In working with others, we have recovered and have been given the power to help others by being recovered. Extraordinary, extraordinary. Thanks, Amy. I pass.
Thank you so much. Larry K. from Chicago. All right. Who else would like to share what was read? We are on page 20, the first paragraph, and we have time for some more names.
Devora B.
Johnny B. from Florida.
About L.
Anita J.
L. Anita J.
Susan P. from Georgia.
Susan P. I missed someone at the very beginning. It was pretty garbled. Did you try again?
Susan P. from Georgia.
Okay, Susan, I got you. Thank you.
I don't know if there's time, Amy, but Cheryl A.
Cheryl, I'll put you down. All right, let's go with that and see where we wind up. Oh, I missed that.
Vinny from New York.
I'm not sure we're going to get to you. Let's hold on for the next lineup or maybe the next hour. Sorry about that. All right, Donna B., Yvette L., Anita J., Susan P., Cheryl A. Donna, please go ahead. It's your turn. Donna, press star one to unmute.
Was it Bonnie B by chance?
Bonnie. Okay, let's take it. Bonnie, let's roll.
And this is Adana.
I heard Adana B, or I heard maybe it was Bonnie B, but you should have, yeah. Bonnie, go ahead.
As long as there's no Donna, thank you so much. I think someone might be unmuted too. Thank you so much. Bonnie B from Florida. Oh, so grateful. Recovered by the grace of God for another day. God, all the shares were amazing again this morning. Every day when I tune into this line, I'm just amazed at the humility, at the honesty, at the transparency of this beautiful program. Yes. I am living recovered today, but I'm telling you, I can throw it away in 30 seconds if I do not guard my thoughts. So when it says that hopeless case of mind and body, I have allergies. I have certain substances. If I ingest them, I light that pilot. I light a fire. I have to be ever aware of that. And then I have to be on guard 24/7 as to what I house in my head. I do not do, and this is with intentionality, I don't do news. I don't do social media. I'm a pretty limited gal. Why? Because I have to guard my thinking. I have a brain that goes into that double dip, which says, how do I fix it? How do I save them? How do I control it? And I can't fix, manage, or control anything. And so I have to be really, really careful about what I do and what I don't do in this program, what I watch, what I don't watch, what I listen to, what I don't listen to. How do I recover? By guarding those things. Because if I'm not guarding those things, I lose my connection to my higher power, to my God. I don't lose my salvation. I am saved. However, I will lose that state of peace. And that's what throws me into that utter turmoil of, okay, you need to neutralize this. And the food was my form of neutralizing. I have to stay in that constant state of peace. I'm not delusional. I know that I live in a world with stuff going on. I also know that the only thing I can do is drop to my knees and pray that God's will be done. Other than that, I'm micromanaging something that's not mine. So what must I do? I have to do that. I have to work the work that's laid in front of me, because everything that people tell me to do keeps me connected to God at that core level. If I stay connected, I live in that state of peace, which to me equals emotional sobriety. If I'm in that state of peace, I'm not looking to neutralize anything, because I have ceased fighting everything and everyone. So what do I need to do? Exactly what the big book says. Die to myself, be of service to others. Stay inside of my hula hoop and stay connected to God at all costs. Whatever that takes for me, that's what I need to do. And it might look different from other people, and that's perfectly fine. But for me, I know what it is, and I have to stay there. I'm so, so grateful for each and every one of you, and I will pass with that. Have a super blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. I'm sorry for the confusion there, but glad you shared. Okay. Yvette L., followed by Anita J. Please go ahead, Yvette.
Good morning. My name's Yvette, and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. And what do I have to do? For me, after I've been in this room since 1992, gratefully never left. But the most important thing that I had to do was to get out of the way of what this power was trying to do in my life. And, you know, that's not easy. I'm, you know, willful and defiant and scared and all of that. But my experience of what this power has guided me to is better than what I was doing on my own. You know, for me, you know, I didn't realize it, but there was, you know, a boatload of fear right beneath the surface. And that's what was really motivating my behavior. And that showed up as, you know, being paralyzed at times, you know, trying to manage my image at times, all of those kinds of things and that type of motivation. But as I learned to start to trust God, you know, I had to be honest that, you know, I didn't trust anybody or anything. But what I was really clear after 25 years, what I was really clear about was that what I was doing wasn't working, you know. I tried to approach this program on an intellectual level because that, you know, felt comfortable, you know, always being a good student. I thought I could study this. And it's not about studying this. It's about experiencing this power in my life and what this power has guided me to, which is better than what I was guiding myself to. You know, when I'm honest about, you know, what I do on my own, you know, with all that fear, you know, I create chaos and unmanageability. I don't mean to do that, but, you know, without this power working effectively in my life, that's what I do. That's the best that I can do on my own. But I'm not on my own. And gratefully, you know, I got out of my own way and God has guided me to a life that, you know, I never expected to live. You know, a useful, joyful life. Not all the time. You know, there are seasons that are hard and challenging. But, you know, the gratitude that's in my heart as a result of what this power has done, you know, the big thing. You know, taking away the obsession. You know, I've always got to do the footwork, you know, but God has removed the obsession, which I'm so grateful for. And I do what I can to help others. I know I can't help everybody, but I can help. And I'm just so grateful that I never left these rooms because I don't know if I had ever left, if I would have ever come back. So it's so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for my life today and so grateful for the grace and mercy of this power in my life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvette L. from Connecticut. Okay, Anita J., you're up, followed by Susan P. Please go ahead, Anita.
Thank you very much, Amy. This is Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. What do I have to do? You know, I don't think I asked God, what do I have to do? This is just recently. It was what I said, Anita, what do you have to do? And what's been working for me for a long, long time was my 11-step partner, which I've had for so many years, I can't remember. I heard her on Vision, although she's not with us now. But we clicked, we're honest with each other, but I've not ever had the same luck after I was first led through the 12 steps through a Vision sponsor, who then said, now you don't need me, you go on and get someone else. Never could. So the thing I just wanted to tell you was I decided I've got to have one. And it happened that we had a speaker at my Big Book home meeting. And so I thought she sounded fine, so I asked her to be my sponsor. And the first thing she wanted was my food plan. I had to write it out. It's incorporated in my brain, which I'm sure some of you who've been around a long time, you don't need to pick up a piece of paper. It's all there in your head, my choices, you know. Anyway, I did it, and we never got to the steps because she said she can't work with somebody. Oh, and I realized I don't eat vegetables anymore. I don't go out of my way. The point is, she dropped me, and what I'm left with is I can hardly shut my freezer because I bought so many frozen vegetables. And anyway, it's funny. It's funny to me because I thought, why didn't you just ask God to help you or ask your 11-step person to help you find, you know. But no, I decided on my own. And anything I do on my own isn't good. But fortunately, it's only 2 or 3 days and there's no harm done. And I feel like I have a store here. If anyone lives near me, I give you a few frozen packages. It's going to take me God knows how long to eat it all. And with that, I pass.
AJ from Massachusetts. All right, Susan P., you're up, followed by Cheryl A. Please go ahead, Susan.
Yes, good morning. This is Susan P. from Georgia. Grateful to be on the line. I woke up not feeling very spiritually fit, but since I woke up at 7 o'clock, I knew what God wanted me to do. And I'm sharing because I actually wanted to respond to Anne Marie M., and I could not find her on the member list. because I also recently had an issue with a family member, a daughter in particular, and the program and the Big Book saved me and saved the relationship. The bad news was is I did have a rage attack over what happened. The good news is I didn't direct it towards my daughter, and I didn't eat over it. Instead, I called my sponsor, and that got me so far. And then I called another program person who verbally walked me through a fourth step over the issue. And my conclusion is that it's God that heals me. I kept thinking about what it says in the book that resentment is the number one offender. And so I had to ask myself, do I want to be recovered or do I want to be right? Because I can't be quote unquote right, which means victim-y and righteous, self-righteous, and be abstinent and work this program and be in the light of God's will. And so my conclusion is, God, you're in charge. It's not my decision of who she is and what she does. It's none of my business. And I just need to focus on working the program. I'm abstinent, but I don't have long-term abstinence, and I would like to have long-term abstinence, long-term recovery, to reach that point which people seem to have, which is food neutrality, which I don't have, never have had. But in spite of that, I'm very grateful to be abstinent, and I'm ecstatically grateful that I did not destroy this relationship because the program gave me the tools to deal with it in a healthy and loving way. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Susan P. from Georgia. Okay, Cheryl A., you'll take us out. Thank you so much. Please go ahead.
Amy, can you hear me? I don't have a great signal. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts, although not in Brookline right now. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I can hear you, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, great. In this paragraph, it really triggers a lot within me because it's sort of where it's a turning point. There's a crack in self-reliance in this paragraph because it's like where it's representative of where we stop arguing and we start asking. There's a brilliant sort of inspirational marketer that always talks about if you want to sell something, you've got to understand the why before the what and the how. If you sell someone the what and the how, they're not going to want it or own it so as deeply as if you first go into the why. We've just spent a lot of chapters into the why and into the who we are really at the core essence. But now we start to go from theory to practice. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? It marks this shift. We're not diagnosing anymore. We're prescribing. There's a prescription now. And there's the other thing that it reminds me of is it is the surrender. It is the internal shift from I can beat this to I have no idea what to do. So just tell me, what do I do? And there's a revelation of defeat in that. And it only comes after after identifying the description of who we are, that my way doesn't work. And I need the instructions. Trust God, clean house, and serve others, essentially, is what I have to do. And I have to keep that willingness and that spiritual sort of pivot me all the time, because the second I start moving into forgetting the foundation of who I am, the identification in, then I start thinking, well, I can do this, and I don't need to know the instructions anymore, because I'll just go based on how I feel any particular day as the winds blow one way or the other. And I don't want to do that anymore, and I also don't want to do that with others. I don't want to control them. And I'm learning, going into deeper and deeper places of my powerlessness over other people. And that leads me to deeper emotional healing and sobriety, which is the goal for me today. I'm so grateful to be journeying and trudging this road with all of you. Please, God, to happy destiny. I hope everybody has a good day.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. I think she's currently in Brooklyn. So on that note, I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's Tuesday, February 17th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,216. That's 23216. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. NWH, will you please read A Vision for You?
I would be happy to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.